Good morning, everyone. I'm Angela Davis, and you're listening to NPR News. Glad you could join us today, this Monday morning. Hey, have you noticed prices going up lately? Or have you tried to order something that has been on back order for weeks? Or maybe you're seeing more empty shelves than usual in stores. If you haven't heard, there's a lot of drama right now with the supply chain. The pandemic has caused all sorts of issues with manufacturing, shipping, and labor around the world. And that has meant higher prices, shipping delays, and fewer items to go around. So this hour, I am breaking down what's going on with the global supply chain and what it means for your budget, your holiday shopping, and more. I want to hear from you, too. We're taking your phone calls. Tell me, what is it that you cannot buy right now? Is there something you've been told it will take months to get? Or have the rising prices made some things unaffordable now? The phone lines are open. You can call us at 651-227-6000. Again, that number is 651-227-6000. You can also call 800-242-2828. Tweet me at Angela Davis NPR. And many of you already have shared with me what you cannot find right now. Let me introduce our guest this morning. We have KK Sinha on the line, and KK is a professor and chair of the Supply Chain and Operations Department at the University of Minnesota's Carlson School of Management. He's also the Elmer L. Anderson Chair in Sustainable Supply Chain at the university. Good morning to you, KK.
Good morning, Angela. Thank you. Good morning to listeners.
Eager to hear from you today, KK. We also have Chris Farrell on the line, and Chris is our senior economics contributor here at NPR News. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Angela.
Hi, Chris. And supply chain, this has been the topic of many talks between you and I as we walked around the newsroom. So, KK, let me begin with you. We've been using this term, and people have been reading and hearing about it a lot, supply chain. Let's take a moment to talk about, you know, what exactly the supply chain is.
Oh, supply chain is something that is designed by looking at manufacturers, distributors, and retailers. So the holiday season is just around the corner. I took a trip down to the Mecca of retailing, which is our Mall of America. So if you are going to visit one of the retail stores, or shall we say the online store of a retailer, essentially you have products either on the shelf or on the website, and effectively one of the things you want to make sure is whatever you order, you can either pick it up or get it on your doorstep. And so there is the second piece of a supply chain, which is the distributor. The distributor includes the guy who shows up at the van to drop off the products on your doorstep, what I would call the last mile fulfillment. Or alternatively, you can think of trucks moving products to the warehouse, to the storehouse, you know, warehouses and distribution centers, or from ports to warehouses, or even from ports to ports, so ocean freight and that we talk about. And then there is the manufacturer who produces the goods. So effectively, when you think of a supply chain, the three elements, key elements are retailer, distributor, and manufacturer. And they're interdependent, and they are like a chain, except there are small chains, and there is a complex network of big and long chains that are distributed all across the world. So
KK, tell us about the disruption that the pandemic caused to the supply chain. How did it affect manufacturing? Let's start with that. What did the pandemic do at manufacturers?
So what the pandemic did effectively, that it affected everybody, big and small, across the globe, all kinds of business owners, so the manufacturer, distributor, retailer. Back to your manufacturers, so all of a sudden people could not show up to work. And if they couldn't show up to work, regardless of which part of the world is, the manufacturing capacity was severely diminished. And thereafter, the same thing affected those who are the logistics provider, i.e. the distributor. So the warehouses also were affected by the same phenomenon. And same thing with the retailers. Doesn't matter where you are as a manufacturer, where you are as a distributor, where you are as a retailer. One of the fundamental challenges that COVID-19 posed to us is all of a sudden, or relatively in short order, we had very, very diminished capacity.
I want to talk also, I want to share some things, Chris, before I ask you a question, what people are telling me already on Twitter, what they cannot get. Carrie writes this, Angela, I haven't been able to find my go-to Target brand oatmeal lotion for probably a month at any store and sold out online. I've got super dry skin in the winter, so Aveeno brand it is, but even that has low inventory. Another Carrie writes, Angela, frozen egg rolls at Cub went up a buck. Used to find cake mixes for a dollar at Cub and Target, but now they're $1.25 or $1.49, have not gone back down. And another person on Twitter writes, this is Heidi. She says, my elderly parents have been waiting more than 9 months for a sofa they ordered this spring when they put down $1,500. The retailer says it's out of their hands due to the backup at ports. And so, Chris, these are some of the common stories that we're hearing from folks.
Very much so. So, and just to reflect, if you go to the grocery store, you've noticed this, Angela. I mean, and let's say you spend $50. $50 is just not buying you as much as it did, you know, two, 3 years ago. And of course, I ordered a dining room table in July, and it's going to be delivered supposedly in January. So we'll see. And they were very apologetic about it. And I said, okay, well, look, there are these issues. And
great for your 4th of July dinner.
Exactly. And, you know, the Consumer Price Index, and we've been talking a lot about the CPI, that's the jargon term for the Consumer Price Index. I made an increase in October by 6.2% from a year ago. And that's the fastest 12-month pace since 1990 and the fifth straight month of inflation above 5%. So a lot of this conversation that we're having about supply chains, you know, the reason why people are focusing on that term is that when they go to the grocery store, when they go buy their furniture, when they try and buy a car, when they're thinking about buying a computer, you know, they're seeing higher prices. And legitimately what people are saying are, we have supply chain issues.
And, you know, the price part of it, too, the higher prices we're seeing. What can you tell us about that?
So the higher prices, you know, to a large extent, think of prices as a mechanism that are signaling to manufacturers, to senior management, to everybody, look, there's a market here. There's demand here. So you have to figure out some way to get your product to the market, to the retailers, what KK was talking about. You got to get it to those retailers. So higher prices are working in this sense that, you know, you talk about employers are out there trying to find those workers and they're willing to pay more because they're seeing that they can charge more. So higher prices are pushing, are reflecting strong demand, lack of supply. But then again, it is a signal to CEOs and senior management to sort of, hey, we got to solve this problem. And I actually think that they are making progress.
Okay, Kate, let's talk about shipping a little bit more. A few months ago, I remember seeing a lot of photos of cargo ships that were waiting in ports in Los Angeles and Houston and unable to unload their cargo. Is that an example of a supply chain problem?
Absolutely. And I think, as you may also recall, right around in October, President Biden went in the news to announce that how the port of Los Angeles and Long Beach, you know, how they would be open 24/7, right? And I think part of the challenge that they were trying to address is to increase the port capacity because, first of all, those containers were showing up. And they were effectively sitting there, and long queues were building up. And then there was the port operations itself of unloading stuff. And then there are the truckers who are out there waiting in queue as well, ready to – they are there, but they need to move the products, but the products have not been unloaded from the containers. So one of the things that has happened, I mean, I would say early November and sort of with President Biden's announcement, is I think – the White House, i.e. the government, is paying a lot more attention to the situation in ports, which is one of the serious bottlenecks. They even have what I would call a dashboard where they're monitoring the number of containers that are dwelling at these ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. And I've been tracking some of those numbers, and they have been actually going down. So once they're, you know, essentially, as one would say, if you monitor it, if you measure it, then you're more likely than not you're going to be able to manage it. So effectively, one of the things that has been happening is some of these containers, especially the container capacity is measured as 20-foot equivalent units, I mean, that has been going down since November. It was 127,000, and in November, 801,000, and now on November 15th, it's about 87,000. So I think things are moving in the right direction. And back to, I think, what Chris was saying, is it is getting CEO's attention, because I was looking at the more recent blog of the White House, and our target CEO, Brian Cornell, is quoted there, and it's basically saying we are ready to deliver a great shopping experience for guests this holiday season. Mm. Same thing, CEO of FedEx, Fred Smith, was quoted, I think we are ready for this. So I think it is getting attention.
And
so Chris is right.
Chris, what else?
And it's making help this problem.
What else are you seeing with the cargo ships in particular, just them, you know, waiting to be able to unload their cargo and just, you know, getting to their destinations in time?
Absolutely. And then also there are also some cascading effects, because all the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach has been in the news, but there are also the ports of Savannah and the other ports. So I think all in all, the port capacity is being increased, and I think the monitoring of them and measuring some of these containers dwelling for, like they were, they say, 9 days or more at ports, these are actually having an impact and also allowing a lot of the retailers who actually go out to the ports to get their products, and they're also talking to one another. So this measurement and monitoring of these metrics is being, you know, is making a difference in terms of people talking to one another as well at the highest level.
And Chris, what can you share with us about shipping, what you've seen or read about?
Well, I think one of the big things with shipping, I mean, of course, those pictures of the ports are just so dramatic. But, you know, one of the really big problems, Angela, is there's just a lack of truck drivers. Mm-hmm. And if you think about the United States, that's how stuff moves around, right? It's all through trucking. And, you know, it's not surprising. I mean, if you think, I find this a stunning figure that the inflation adjusted hourly wage for truckers, you know, is down by more than 5% since 1990. Now, there's some increasing going on right now, but the story of the trucking industry has been stagnant wages, to wages down relative to inflation, irregular hours, irregular shifts, long hours. And just as we talk so much about the great resignation, what's happening is that truck drivers are able to get jobs, perhaps at a warehouse or perhaps somewhere else where they're home at night. They're getting more regular hours and stable hours and higher pay. So this trucking industry problem is not going to go away very quickly. But again, they're throwing resources at it.
We're talking about problems, a disruption with the supply chain and what it will mean for shopping and products that, you know, you just can't find right now online or on store shelves, and asking you to call in and share your story. What is it that you cannot buy right now? Is there something that you've been told will take months to get? Have you seen prices rise and made some things now unaffordable? The phone lines are open. Call us at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828 as we talk to two guests about this and share more what we're hearing from folks on Twitter. So Morgan writes this. Morgan says, we had our son last month and ordered a crib from Crate and Barrel back in July. The crib arrived within a month, but the converter rail, we are being told, won't arrive until June of 2022. So, and they talk about in this message, they sent a photo that the impact of the pandemic on shipping. Also, I have a story here. The supply chain issues are driving me crazy, says Dan. I love to build gaming PCs for personal usage, but haven't been able to get a GPU at MSRP for more than a year. I've been looking since October of 2020. So folks are seeing this firsthand. And you know, Chris, I'm curious, like, what's this going to mean for the holiday season? We've got Black Friday coming up this Friday. People should be aware. It may be, you know, some of those shelf spaces might be empty before, even if you're there waiting at the door early in
the
morning.
That's right, for certain hot items. Of course, you know, Angela, to some extent, that's always the story, right, around, you know, Black Friday and the shopping season. It's just going to be a lot worse this time around. But I do think you have to take seriously the statements that are coming out of Walmart and Target, the big retailers, that they're well prepared for the holidays. I mean, they've been just working really hard at getting more inventory, and the shelves, I think, are going to be okay. But one of the stories of the pandemic is that the big have gotten bigger. because they have the resources, and the small are suffering. So I think the big supply chain issue is not going to be at the Target or the Walmart. It's going to be at your small retailers, your mid-sized retailers. They're going to have a much harder time fulfilling their online orders or fulfilling, you know, the having those shelves full. So in general, I think Christmas is going to be okay. There's going to be some stories of disappointment, but not as bad as you would have thought, say, a month ago.
And we're also, in terms of like delivery dates, right? I've seen stories that well, we've seen this for months, that there's been a delay in, you know, all of the delivery services. What is that about? Is that more about the labor shortage?
That's more about the labor shortage, and that's a lot has to do with the trucking. And, you know, my dining room table is being made in a small factory, and they have fewer workers there because they have them spaced out. And, of course, COVID hasn't gone away. I mean, this whole conversation really is affected by COVID. And if COVID sort of continues, if COVID does start fading away again, which isn't happening right now in our part of the country, but if it does, you know, you would expect that the supply chain issues would actually even be fixed quicker.
And KK, what are your thoughts as people look at holiday shopping, or what we know we traditionally see with Black Friday and other, you know, Cyber Monday also coming up? What do you think we'll see that might be different this year?
So what's different is what retailers are already incenting the consumers to do, which is they have sort of preponed all the Black Friday sales, right? So if you were to even go to Mall of America, or if you were to go out on the website, one of the things you will find is, you know, there are a lot of promotions going on and the discounts. So the Black Friday is no longer a peak. It's almost like a plateau that has been extended over time. So that's one thing that I think the retailers are definitely trying to do to make sure that, you know, people start buying early. And some of the reports that I have seen would suggest that that is making an impact, and more so it's an impact on, you know, the people who have higher wages, you know, and it's also impacting some of the young generations, and they have been taking advantage of some of these promotions that have started early. So the holiday season shopping has really three components to it in principle. I mean, one is just the supply chain issues, which is effectively making sure that you have stuff available on the store shelf or on the website. The second is, I think, what Chris is being alluding to, is making sure that you have on-time delivery, or at least you're heading in the right direction rather than just waiting for a couple of months. You're going down, because it's not going to happen instantaneously. But the third part of holiday shopping, which is very critical, and I think retailers, big and small, are rising up to it, which is holiday shopping is an experience. It's an experience of giving and getting. And so just getting out of COVID-19 and being able to walk to the aisles and picking up something. So that shopping experience, or just the convenience that, you know, you get it off your list, is where things are, I think, moving, and you know, what I would call the retailers are making an effort to doing this. Now, I would also try to separate in holiday shopping the fact that the tech products are going to be a major challenge. And even if you were to look at the New York Times, I mean, I think that is the reality. So if you want to talk about gizmos and devices, then it's a challenge. But other products that are typically part of holiday shopping, including the availability of turkey. I mean, I checked with my grocery store. They have good stock of turkey up in Jerry's Food, for example, or cranberry, or for that matter, potatoes. I mean, so there are certain things that are playing out. And there's a wonderful, supplement over the Sunday in Star Tribune, which was talking about small businesses. And I think small businesses are seeing brisk business. They are also able to fulfill a lot of some of these demands, and they are seeing traffic. And there is an element of supporting what I would call local artisans, local brands, or where the supply chains are short. So a lot of there's one lady who's been profiled of Zambrota, and she has a store, and effectively she said, I didn't lose sleep. over all this time, because my supply chain is US-based. So there is some learnings to be had from there. And the fact that in Cannon Falls, the business owners are coming together, so otherwise competitors are talking to one another, helping one another, sharing information. I think those are some of the silver linings of this COVID-19 that has brought people together. But I think make them recognize how they can cater to their consumers.
I want to read another comment on Twitter because this may impact or make some people who are planning to bake and cook in the coming days think about this. Your favorite spices. T4 writes, Angela, haven't found any Old Bay spice in our local Midwest groceries in months. That's a problem from someone who I use a lot of Old Bay spice in my cooking. That would be very upsetting to me if that happened to me. So some spices may be unavailable. And says the location on the shelf is still labeled but empty. Also, some specific Amy's soups are pretty scarce. So you may find that when you go to the grocery store, some of your favorite spices. Okay, let's take a phone call. We're talking about supply chain, the disruption to the supply chain and what has happened as a result of that, and asking, are there some things that you've discovered you just can't buy right now or there's a delay in getting it? Give us a call at 651-227-6000. In Minneapolis, Alan is on the phone. Alan, what's going on?
Hi. One of the problems that we're having, I'm a carpenter, mm-hmm. and we attempted to get the Hardy sidings for the new construction and remodels. They couldn't even give us a date that we can get it. Just Thursday, I got a call. We got some in. By the time I got to the store, it was sold out. And when they give us a timeline that we're going to get the windows in on a certain date, 3 weeks turned into 3 months. And then sometime when you get it, the quality control, because the turnover with the employees, the product sometimes is not as good as it should be. So we are having a lot of problems out here.
So, Alan, as a carpenter, what do you tell your customers? Or you just tell them, like, I can't get this piece or this part, so I can't finish the project?
It's out of my control. And mm-hmm. as you know, many people want to get that house remodeled or finished before the holiday season. So we are really under the gun.
All right. Thank you, Alan, for sharing that. And Chris, you're talking about this table you're waiting for. That's another, I guess we should be aware that, that it's going to affect services or projects, particularly, I guess, in the construction area. We've heard a lot about that over the summer as well.
Right. So if you think about the pandemic and so many people, working from home and sort of looking at their house or their apartment or their condo and saying, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, a lot of projects. And so there's been an enormous demand. Plus, housing values have gone up. And so people can more easily justify a remodeling project simply because the value of their house has gone up by so much. So there's this incredible demand. And then if you think about the factories that are making the windows, they've had all the labor force issues that every business has been having during this time. And I would imagine they've also had a lot of workers leaving, going on to try something else. So it's this really strong demand and the difficulties of creating the supply.
And also on Twitter, I'm getting all kinds of stories here. Someone just posted a photo of their cat on my Twitter feed. This is Tane. Tane Danger says, George's favorite cat food has been out of stock for months. He switched to a lesser brand, but he is not happy about it. See, you can't go messing with our food. That can really cause some drama in stores. Let's see. We also are getting questions about inflation. And as we talk about higher prices, what do you think could be the impact of all of this on the overall economy, KK?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, first, let me go back to this question about house remodeling, because I'm living through one right now myself. And I must say that I think if I were to summarize what's going on, is that either you get the material or you don't get the then you don't get the people, you get the people, you don't get the material. So having the material and people together to get the job done has been a challenge. A project that started in February is still in progress today, where the curbs are being built and etc. So I think the issue that I am seeing is, if I were to anchor it, the project that we are going through, that yes, it is taking long, but the costs don't seem to be impacted. Now, there is another element that I would like to highlight beyond COVID-19 that has impacted some of the materials related to construction, home building, and, you know, home remodeling, and that there were some conditions, climatic-related conditions, back in Texas, elsewhere, ice storms and, you know, hurricanes. Those have not helped. Actually, those have also impacted a lot of our facilities. So talking about COVID-19, climate change, and obviously have all, this is a perfect storm that continues to happen. So while COVID-19 is the overarching element that we need to be mindful of, it's not over yet. It is ebbs and flowing. But the other thing that, from an economy standpoint, I think we found it in the second caller that I think you just alluded to about the pet food, is people, when they have the uncertainty in availability and lead times, I think one thing that is happening is that brand loyalty or store loyalty is no longer that strong. So people are willing to switch. And this is something I think a lot of the retailers are paying attention to, and this is just a fact of life. So, which actually opens up opportunities in the communities, in our local areas, to fulfill nature abhors vacuum. So I think as the big players are unable to fulfill the needs, we will come up, and we are coming up with solutions, and especially during the holiday shoppings and holiday season, some of the needs are rightfully being fulfilled by the small business owner and small store owners.
I like what you said that about brand loyalty. As you can't get something, you experiment with something else and you may find, oh, this other brand works just fine as well. excuse me. I want to read another comment on Twitter before we take a news break here and take more of your phone calls. Shay Cab writes, my body shop can't get parts to repair cars, so it could take weeks or months to repair your car after a crash. So don't crash or get hit if you need your car to make a living. And if you don't work from home or have a second car in the household. So looking at all the different impacts of not being able to get certain products in a timely fashion. All right, we do want to take more of your phone calls as we talk about the disruption to the supply chain. The number is 651-227-6000, and I'll check in with more of you in just a moment. But first, I want to check in to see what's going on in the news with Phil Picardi. Hi, Phil. Now back to the conversation about the global supply chain and the disruption to it and how it's affecting you as you try to buy things you need. My guests today include KK Sinha, a professor and chair of the Supply Chain and Operations Department at the University of Minnesota's Carlson School of Management. And we also have Chris Farrell with us, our senior economics contributor here at NPR News. And we're taking your phone calls. Is there something you can't buy right now? Something you've been told it will take months to get? Or have the rising prices of some items caused by the supply chain drama made some things unaffordable for you now? Let's talk about it at 651-227-6000. Tweet me at Angela Davis, NPR. Right now, I want to bring in another guest for a few minutes who can tell us how the supply chain has affected her small business. We have Christine Lantinen on the line, and Christine is the president and owner of Maud Borup, a candy, confections, and food gift manufacturing company in Plymouth, Minnesota. Good morning to you, Christine.
Good morning, Angela. Thank you for having us.
So let's talk about what you have seen since the pandemic and the ways that the supply chain has affected your business.
Oh, challenging. Challenging is an understatement. In the 16 years of owning Maud Borup, I've never seen anything like it. We are a seasonal candy business. So timelines are really important, and the delays we've seen in transit of containers from China taking 3 to 6 weeks longer than they have in past years has truly been detrimental. In addition to the cost of containers, a 40-foot container in August of 2020 cost us $4,300. A 40-foot container in August of 2021 cost us close to $30,000.
Wow.
So we've really been pinched between delays on all kinds of ingredients, components, and these tight deadlines we need to meet for our retailers. And you're just squeezed in between the two and trying to find a way to win.
And Christine, I see that you testified in front of the U.S. House of Representatives back in October about how the supply chain has affected your business. What did you tell them? What did you want them to know?
Yes, a lot of the supply chain issues are due to worker shortages. We're still down 100 employees, which is also detrimental. So, you know, when the goods do get to us, we have way too much to pack in a small window of time and not enough people to do it. So I challenge the House to look at the people not working to see how we can fill the 10.4 million job openings that we currently have in the USA right now. There are 100 million people currently considered a part of the workforce here in the U.S. that could be working that aren't. And that would be anybody that's not incarcerated in a care home or in the U.S. military. So how do we tap into those workforces, those people that are here but that aren't working? A large percentage of that number, 42%, 42 million people are retirees. So I asked, how could we potentially incentivize retirees to come back to work, at least for the short term, to help with all the issues that we're having with supply chain, which is truly driven by worker shortages.
So you talked about the finance, your expenses just skyrocketing. So how are you dealing with all of this financially?
A lot of prayers, Angela. The other challenge that many, many small business owners and large businesses are facing right now is being outside of your covenants with your bank and having to go back to your bank and say, I know nothing is making sense this year, but you just have to believe in me. So it's really strong banking relationships. And in talking with my friends in the banking industry, they've said to me, banks only have so much of a variance that they can go beyond also, and they're getting far extended beyond that too. So we're all getting pushed, and at a certain point, banks are going to have to say no too, because they only have so much of a sloth fund too to work with that they can allow to be outside of their covenants that they need to hold to. So at what point are banks going to have to start walking away from loans because they're being pushed too far also? It's a very challenging place for many of us to be.
And so what has this meant? You said you had how many employees do you have right now, Christine?
We're at about 240 currently. We could use another 100 people. And that's at our La Center plant.
Mm-hmm. And so what does all this mean for the holiday season? Like, how are you preparing to deal with it, with all the challenges you have right now?
Late shipping. We've had to really talk to our retailers and partner with them and say, what can we do? It's definitely going to be a hunt and peck type of shopping season this year because things are going to come into stores in waves. So I think you're going to have to go to the store every week to try and find what you're looking for because you never quite know when it's going to hit the store, and when it does, it's going to be gone. Just really trying to have a great partnership. So we're really trying to work in advance. So we're looking at Valentine's Day. One example is we have a large item that has heart sprinkles in it. And the manufacturer decided he's suddenly no longer manufacturing the heart sprinkles. And we don't find out that these heart sprinkles are not going to be available until they're supposed to be shipping to us. And that's when we're told. So really working with our retailers to say, okay, what else can we do? We push the supplier as hard as we can. We understand photography's already been done. But how do we shift and try to fix it? And the unfortunate part is quite often these items that we can't get are maybe 1/20th of the product.
Right.
So you're losing out on a much bigger sale simply by not having the heart sprinkles to put inside of something or on top of something.
Because that's the marketing, because that's what I think that's what I've ordered, that's what I think I'm going to receive, and then I'm missing this key thing. And so then that goes back to the way a customer would perceive your business, and it's not your fault.
Right. And you don't want to let the customer down. You feel like you're letting your customers down. And, you should push your suppliers harder. And, we're pushing hard, and you just know how far it goes back in the chain where, the reason they couldn't get the heart sprinkles is because their supplier decided they're no longer going to carry it. Everybody is really trying to focus on core. So, you know, how do you go deeper in the things you can manufacture a lot of? A lot of manufacturers are looking at that right now.
We're all going to need a lot of patience. We certainly are. Well, Christine, thank you for sharing your story. I hear the exhaustion in your voice, but I'm sending you good vibes this season and in the year ahead. That's Christine Lantinen, the president and owner of Maud Borup, a candy, confections, and food gift manufacturing company there in Plymouth. Thank you, Christine. All right, let's take, I want to ask you, you know, KK, what did you hear in Christine's story there? Just with the sprinkles there, that particular candy. KK, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely. So this is, thank you, Christine, for sharing what you did. It is both insightful, but also heartwarming. Couple of things. One is, one thing from as a supply chain guy, I can tell you Christine's story, her products, and I've been looking at her website, does exemplify that how complex even a candy supply chain can become, right? Mm-hmm. We have gotten so used to the variety, and it's an experiential good, right? So you share candy during holiday seasons, you consume candy, you give it special occasions, because I think there is something behind the candy that I think Christine and her company is committed to, and there is an expectation. But I think, the number one, candy supply chains are complex, and hence she is being impacted by these rising freight costs that she just alluded to. But I think there is also a story about Maud Borup, which I think we as consumers, which is where I'm going with this, is how do we shape our expectation, how do we shape our purchase decisions? You know, Maud Borup is an exemplar of a woman-owned business. It's also a veteran-owned business. It is also a sustainable business. And if you combine these two together, there is something so good about this business, which is a local business, which has been here for... It's a wonderful story over all these years. So if I were a consumer, I mean, or as we were talking about consumer, we need to also make sure we are supportive of, as Christine talked about, her core products. So if we cannot get the sort of the exotic product that we know Maud Borup is capable and has produced over the years, we should support their core products so that we are doing our bit to support mm-hmm. our small businesses, women-owned businesses, veteran-owned businesses, and sustainable businesses. And we owe it to them, especially in these times when COVID-19 is affecting all of us. Mm-hmm. And so this is one way of thinking about how we as consumers can shape our demand functions and change our utility function to support and
make sure our small businesses are there for us next year. Chris, you love to talk
Absolutely.
About entrepreneurs, Absolutely. Right?
I love to talk about entrepreneurs. I think it's very important. Right. And I also, building off of what KK has said, I mean, you know, I also want to recommend to people, take a step back. You know, there's a lot of hype out there. You're not going to be able to spend the money that you want. The goods aren't going to be there. It's going to be a higher price. All of which, as we're talking here, is going to be true. But, you know, think about what did we learn during the pandemic, Angela, and what were some of the conversations that we had? You know, we realized, you know, it's not important that I go out with a group of friends to an expensive restaurant. It's important that I get together with a group of friends. And if we do it as a potluck, hey, what's important is that we do it as a group of friends. So again, building off of what KK is saying, it's like, just be thoughtful about your gifts. It's not the amount that you spend. Yes, there's some hot items, but you know, you can kind of come up with alternatives. And so don't get caught up in spending too much, even though this is kind of we feel that, you know, we're getting a little looser, we're able to go out a little more, we're going to be able to go into the stores. And think about making your gifts thoughtful and less about thinking about making your gifts expensive.
Mm-hmm. And I should let our listeners know, next Monday, you and I, Chris, we're going to be talking about, I've kind of named this show, Say No to Cyber Monday. Make it yourself. We're going to spend an hour talking about how you can, make some gifts or some things yourself instead of, things you would typically buy online. And then the following Monday, in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about buying local for the holidays. Exactly how do you find these local vendors, these local business owners, and support them? So that's coming up. Let's take a phone call as we talk about the supply chain and all the drama that's associated with right now because of the disruption in St. Paul. We've got Katie on the phone. Katie, thank you for waiting. And what do you want to share with us about how you're being impacted by this?
Good morning, Angela. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm the owner of a small local business that supports other small local businesses. It's You Betcha Box.
And we're doing You Betcha Box. Mm-hmm.
You do.
You sent me one. I know that.
I did. and we work with dozens of other small local artisan food makers across the state of Minnesota and feature their products in curated mm-hmm. gift boxes that would be like a local alternative to, say, Harry and David or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And it's been a very interesting year. And we have seen many of the small businesses that we work with have seen, really, because they're small and nimble, they've been able to get scrappy and find sources, but like jam jars or lids for bottles or the cardboard that we needed, to be able to ship these nationwide was in short supply. But they're nimble and they're small. And most of their ingredients are sourced from local Minnesota farmers. And, so that has really helped. And we're looking good right now in terms of being able to meet the demand. But it is a big part of the challenge for us is the lack of predictability. Mm-hmm. It swings so widely. But that's okay. We're, like I said, everybody is all these small businesses in our community. I'm loving what your commentators are saying because it's so true and it has a huge impact. Last year through COVID, we were able to really help these small businesses who don't get exposure through e-commerce websites. Mm-hmm. And if people aren't in stores, they're not seeing their products and they couldn't do holiday pop-ups. And several of the artisans that we worked with said they would have gone out of business last year if it weren't for You Betcha Box. Mm-hmm. We helped keep them in business. And what you're saying, Chris, about those decisions that we make on the local level, on the consumer level, our daily decisions really do have a positive ripple effect on our local economy. All that money stays here. It keeps these small businesses going, thriving, and eventually becoming large employers.
Thank you. That's Katie in St. Paul, the owner of You Betcha Box. It features a variety of products. They're like local food gift boxes that are really cool. Thank you, Katie, for calling in. Let's take another phone call. This is Kyle in White Bear Lake. Good morning, Kyle. What do you want to tell us about how you've been impacted by the supply chain problems?
Oh, yeah. I guess just a brief comment. So I own a gardening company, and I get most of my stuff from like local suppliers. And while there were some challenges, like for the most part, I was able to fill like most of my orders that I needed for my landscaping projects. I'm not an expert or anything, but it seems like sort of those local small businesses mm-hmm. and the suppliers I get from are just a little more reliable than sort of like these bigger companies. So I don't know if like, investing in those smaller businesses and suppliers would be worth it because they're just more resilient, I guess. Just my two cents.
All right. That's Kyle in White Bear Lake. And Chris, what would you say to what he's saying about sort of the local supply chain being maybe a little bit more reliable and better for him?
Well, I think you just can't underestimate the resilience of small entrepreneurs. And one of the things that comes out of this pandemic that I think is absolutely fascinating is the increase in small business creation of new entrepreneurs. And this is something that we need to watch very closely, follow very closely, because it's one of the few positives that's really coming out of this period of time. And the stories that you're hearing right now are why it's so important. There's this resilience, there's these customer relationships, you're supporting your neighbor, and we have come to realize the value, the importance of the neighborhood business, which for a long time has been ignored as we seek out and, admire and talk about the Silicon Valley type high-tech entrepreneur. And yet it's really these local, the gardener business, the candy business. You know, that these businesses are what employ people. They care about the neighborhood, and really the word that just keeps coming back is they're resilient.
I want to take another phone call in War Road, Minnesota. Jessica is on the phone. Jessica, what did you want to tell us about the supply chain?
So this just goes back to the caller who is a carpenter looking for window parts. Mm-hmm. And War Road has a big manufacturer of windows. And there has never been a slow in the ordering of the windows and doors that they create since the beginning of the pandemic. Their needs have actually only increased, and the employees have grown very tired because they've been working multiple hours. And then we throw in the COVID protocols, which have made the working environment even harder. And so a lot of people have left the manufacturing business, and which has created an even greater need for employees. And so temp agencies have been brought in and brought people from other states to work for this company so that they can try to keep up with the demands of of what people are requesting. And now we still have the same amount of people in our community, but we actually even have more because there are people here temporarily for not just weeks, but months at a time. So we have more competition with people buying stuff on the shelves, and things as easy as deodorant or floss or shampoo are just become significantly unavailable.
Wow. So you're seeing that the impact, particularly on with the workers there, people becoming, you know, working long hours and leaving, and that's having an impact.
Yeah, they have definitely been growing tired, and it has been going on since the very beginning of the pandemic, once we started to have lockdowns and mandates for staying in and things of that nature. So people have been working a long period of time under regulations that they don't necessarily want to be working in, and they've just grown tired. Mm.
Thank you. That's Jessica in War Road. And KK, at the very beginning, we talked about the three parts of this, the manufacturer, the distributor, and the retailer. And, you know, what troubles you the most looking in the months ahead of what we could see here?
Well, what troubles me most as we step back from all this conversation we have is the lack of capability in supply chain. So I am a professor in supply chain management, or the Department of Supply Chain and Operations. This is our bread and butter. Supply chain discipline needs to, you know, contribute towards workforce development, contributes to a talent development, professional development. That's what we are all about. And the more we are aware, it doesn't matter whether you're a small company or a large company, of having supply chain capabilities. Mm-hmm. So that, going back to what Chris has been talking about, resilience, there are really four R's to the supply chain. I mean, how the supply chain can be responsive, that's something we have talked about.
Okay, I'm sorry, we just have 30 minutes left here. And I just want to say, I feel like I've learned a lot during this hour. And hopefully, as we learn about just how important the supply chain is, that we'll be able to, you know, deal with this better in the year to come. I want to thank our guests this hour, as well as all of our listeners who called in and shared their stories, all the folks on Twitter who wrote in and shared with us. I appreciate it. We've been talking to KK Sinha, a professor and chair of the Supply Chain and Operations Department at the Carlson School of Management there at the University of Minnesota. And our buddy Chris Farrell, NPR's senior economics contributor, who joins me every Monday. And we also heard from Christine Lantanen, the owner of Maud Borup, a candy and confections company there in Plymouth. This conversation was produced by Samantha Matsumoto. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 9. Thanks for listening to a recording of my live radio show on NPR News. A reminder, if you want to catch the show in real time, tune in and call in at a new time, 9 a.m. weekdays on NPR News.